Welcome to the Nightly Five podcast with Ben O'Shea.
Sydney is tonight a city still in shock, grappling to come to terms with a senseless killing spree here at Bondi Junction in the city's east. Six lives were cut short inside the Westfield Shopping Centre by a man armed with a hunting knife, the 15-minute frenzy only ending when he was fatally gunned down by a hero police officer.
Australia and definitely New South Wales are still reeling from the events of Saturday at Bondi Junction. Joel Couchy, a Queensland man with mental health problems, had moved from Queensland to New South Wales only a month before he took a knife into a crowded Sydney shopping centre. He killed six people and wounded others, including a nine-month-old baby, in an unprovoked stabbing spree before he was eventually stopped when fatally shot by a police officer. But what happens now? Here to help us understand the next steps in this dark chapter of Australian history is Associate Professor in Criminal Justice and Criminology at Bond University, Terry Goldsworthy. Professor Goldsworthy, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good afternoon.
And so New South Wales Police has launched Strike Force Macaulay to look into the Bondi Junction massacre. Can you give us an idea of what that will involve?
Well, I mean, it's just they're going to move through the investigative process. So any investigation generally moves from a low information state up to a high information state. So that is what the drive of the task force will be. I mean, we've kind of moved through the crime scene stage, which occurred over the weekend, where the police declared the whole shopping centre a crime scene, and there would have been multiple crime scenes within that area that they've processed in terms of forensics and physical material, et cetera. So now what they'll be doing, I guess, is going through seeking witnesses. I saw this morning they've had another 50 witnesses come forward today, so they'll be, I suspected, a range of hundreds of witness statements that they'll need to take in terms of what people saw. They'll be gathering CCTV from the various stores, the shopping centre itself, and also any private video footage that people may have taken of the incident. And that'll just give them, I guess, a picture or record of what occurred at the shopping centre. And then probably the most important stage that they'll then have to do is going and looking at what was the motivation of the offender in this instance. And to do that, they'll need to go back and speak to associates, to family, etc., to see what his interactions with police in the past have been, although Queensland Police indicate that he had no criminal interactions with them. And that will allow them to determine, I guess, what his motivation may have been. I mean, we do know he had some mental health issues, etc. So that will be important of itself to seeing what mental health professionals interacted with him can tell police investigators.
And beyond just trying to unpack why this horrific incident happened, are there other goals of an investigation like this?
Well, certainly they'll be looking at what unfolded once the attack occurred and began. And by that I'm talking about, you know, this is what we call an active armed offender scenario. So they'll be looking to see, you know, what could have been done better in terms of prevention, what could have been done in terms of preparedness and their response in relation to this. So we saw from the video footage that came out over the weekend that people evacuated from the centre. Now, I don't know if that was driven by an announcement or whatever else. There was one of the deceased was a security guard. Now, that interaction with the offender will be interesting to see. Was he reacting as part of their response plan to this person coming in armed? We saw shops closing up and bringing people inside the shops as they closed. They are all crucial things when you're talking about an active armed offender because, you know, if they have time and freedom of movement, then that leads to increased casualties. And we saw members of the public who interacted with the offender quite bravely stopping his ability to move freely, which would have saved many people, I suspect, by slowing him down or stopping him and then directing the police officer to where he was so she could take action to cease his rampage.
And so what do you think would be a likely timeline for this investigation to conclude and then information to be made public?
Oh, look, I think the investigation will probably be going for at least 6, maybe 12 months as they go through things. I mean, I'm not sure how many staff they're going to allocate to it and for how long, but I wouldn't be surprised if in 12 months they're getting towards the end of finalising all their inquiries. You know, and part of that will be, as you said, you know, not only looking at his motivations, but you know, how did the police respond? Because they're going to have to investigate the police shooting. That's a separate investigation that will take place alongside the other homicide investigations to make sure that the use of the firearm is correct and within their guidelines and face value. I wouldn't see any issues there. But, you know, the police response to these type of issues, you know, the focus on the police response for active armed offenders is to reduce or suppress the threat posed by an active armed offender. So we saw that in the police officer moving through. She wasn't stopping for casualties or to speak to people. She was focused on getting to the threat, which is what their policy dictates, that they need to keep moving past those type of issues and get to the offender so they can stop the offender as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so it sounds like it might take a while before we get the results of Strike Force Macaulay, but those results will definitely be very important for everyone to hear and hopefully help the police handle or prevent future incidents should they arise. Associate Professor in Criminal Justice and Criminology at Bond University, Terry Goldsworthy, thanks for sharing these insights on the Nightly Five.
Thank you.